My name's Roy. I'm a volunteer here, and I'm really glad you guys are here today. Just say good morning to someone around you.
Back our ribs again and stand in our chest.
just won't love you. We just won't love you. I'm sorry. Can we start over? I'm sorry, folks. Hey, it happens. Let's just be real about it.
Oh,
voice when you call us out to the unknown, uncertain. We will call to mind your ageless faithfulness to your people, your creation. And we will look to you, the author of our life. Whatever pleases you will be our path, trading what we have for what we'll have. We will seek your face, not your hand. Call us out to the unknown, uncertain. We will call to mind your ageless faithfulness to your people, your creation. We will look to you, the author. God, I want that to be my theme. Whatever pleases you, I want that to be my path. For you are a great God, a gracious Father, full of grace, and who wants freedom for me. In spite of whatever's going on in my life and whatever I'm feeling or whatever I've done, I know that you accept me and you love me. And I just thank you for that. Please be with us. Amen. You guys sound fantastic. You really do. So yeah, the whole stopping thing was kind of planned. We just wanted to, and you guys, no, it wasn't planned. That was all me. I'm really glad you guys are here this morning. Go ahead, do me a favor, turn around and say good morning to somebody. Maybe meet somebody new.
Good morning, 1155. I agree with Roy. You sound like angels before the throne. Hey, good morning. Welcome. Hi, my name is Lynn Watts. I'm on staff with the Spiritual Growth Team here at Crossroads. And what we do in Spiritual Growth is we provide opportunities to connect with God through experiences like discipleship, prayer, community groups, and so on. And so if you have been at Crossroads for a little bit of time, or maybe you've been here for a long time, there are a couple of really cool things you want to know about who we are. We are inspired workers. We are obsessive includers. We are sacrificial givers, and we do life together. And so, in fact, we have about, I don't know, a whole lot of inspired workers last year that got together and did something amazing called Meals to Go. Check that out. Fantastic. Yes. Hey, we are going to take more ground. And if you want to join us tomorrow, starting at 10 a.m., you can sign up with your family to do Meals to Go. And kids as young as 5 years old can join in. So sign up tomorrow at crossroads.net/meals to go. And then on July 11th, come back and do that. We are also obsessive includers, and so we like to be in community, and we want everyone in this auditorium that wants to be in community to have a chance to do that. And so after the service today, we'd like you to join us in Meeting Room C. You have a chance to meet Chuck Mingo, our campus pastor, and some other folks, and some other folks in our community, so that you can take a step around towards making this place seem smaller. And speaking of weekends, next weekend is the 4th of July. And so on Saturday, if you're thinking you might check out a Saturday service, check out the 4:30, but not the 6:15, because we want you to spend time with other folks in community. So go to a barbecue, hopefully at someone else's home and not your own. We won't have a 6:15 service, or just come on Sunday like you have today. We are also folks that like to do life together. And so tomorrow, we're going to do that through a thing we call Night of Healing Prayer. And so we invite you to come back tomorrow at 6:30. We're going to be across the atrium in student section, and we are going to spend the time praying for anyone that comes. And you can want prayer for family, for friends, for a relationship, for a job. You could want healing mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. Whatever you would like prayer for, we want to pray with you. And so we invite you to come. We'll start at 6:30. We'll stay until 8:30, and you are free to stay for as long as you like. And we don't pray because we feel like it's some religious obligation. We pray because we know that that's what God likes to hear. That's the language that he loves, and he loves for us to tell him the desires of our heart. So we welcome you to come back tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for that. We are sacrificial givers, and we use our resources to fuel those things that we feel we are called to go after. And so in a moment, volunteers are going to come down the aisles, and they're going to pass bags. And if you like, we welcome you to put cash or checks in the bag, or you can take out your cell phones right now, and you can do it electronically at crossroads.net/give. We're in for a treat today. We're in the middle of a series called Why Movies Matter, and we have a speaker that's in our community that's part of our staff. His name is Stephen. He's on our teaching team. Yes, give it up for Stephen, because if you don't know him, you will know him. He's on our teaching team, and he has done a lot of work and does a lot of work around spiritual growth here at Crossroads. And so if you've taken any step along that path, you have been impacted by Stephen, whether you know it or not. And so before we get to hear from him, we'd like you to know that Star Wars is the theme today. You might have noticed that when you came in. And so we like to transport you back to a galaxy far, far away. Glad you're here.
Somewhere in space, this may all be happening right now. 20th Century Fox and George Lucas, the man who brought you American Graffiti, now bring you an adventure unlike anything on your planet. Star Wars.
Here they come.
The story of a boy, a girl, and a universe. It's a big, sprawling space saga of rebellion and romance. It's a spectacle, light years ahead of its time.
I am C-3PO, human-cyborg relations, and this is my counterpart, R2-D2.
Hello.
No forces!
It's an epic of heroes.
Good luck.
And villains. And aliens from a thousand worlds. Star Wars. A billion years in the making. And it's coming to your galaxy this summer.
Wow, fresh as the morning dew, isn't it? That trailer did not hold up very well, apparently because the galaxy far, far away would be the 1970s. That's the galaxy. Hi, everyone. Hi, it's good to see you. My name is Stephen Manuel, and I am a longtime part-time staffer here. And I help lead a class called Critical Skills for Believers. And I also help lead The Next Level, which happens on Wednesday nights around here at the end of each month. You should all be there every month, no matter what's happening in your lives, okay? So look forward to seeing you there. Just to tell you what we're doing today, a lot of times at Crossroads, we talk about a specific issue or a specific idea on a weekend. I'm going to pull back the lens a little bit farther this week, and I'm going to talk to you about the grand scope of life. I'm going to give you an answer key for your life. How's that sound? I really am. I'm going to tell you about the big shape of life, what God does, how you can respond to Him, and it makes sense. It's going to make sense. You'll love it. Now, I want to start with a little film that I have a business with my wife, and I teach this stuff to executives, and we're going to watch this little film that was created in 1944 by a couple of researchers, Heider and Simmel, and they learned the way that our minds work based on using a couple of triangles and a circle moving around a white piece of paper. And if I just left you alone, you'd be incredibly bored because this is like the opposite of the internet. But what's happening here is that, see this big guy right here? He's a meanie, and he's poking that little guy around. And see that circle there is what the big triangle is really interested in. And he's going to chase her inside this box. And he's going to slowly close the door behind him, and it gets a little creepy at that moment. And you kind of go, well, what's he up to there? And invariably, when you show this movie to people and then you just say, what happened there? We start associating all sorts of emotions with this thing. It's the darndest thing that happens. Now watch this. Woo! They get out, and now there's a celebration. Hooray. Now get ready for some action. Here's the chase scene. There's a chase scene there. That was it. That was the chase scene. And then these guys go away. And then here he is. This violent cretin shows his true colors right here. Get ready for it. It's a little violent here. There it is. All right. So if I just showed that to you and then I asked you, what did you just see? You would say there were three characters. There's one that was bad. There were two that I liked. There's kind of a love story there, and there's a threat there, and there's some action that goes on, and I like the way that it ends. And I would say to you, you just saw two triangles in a circle. What are you talking about? There wasn't any sound at all. And what the experiment proves is that you and I are so engineered for storytelling that we will actually foist story on top of a couple of shapes moving around a white background. It was just a circle and a triangle going like this, and we go, oh, they're together, finally. Because that's the way that we work. I can't show you a photograph, any photograph, without you wanting to put story into that picture. It's the way that we work. Story is the way that we understand ourselves. It's the way that we understand one another. We communicate with stories. How was your day today? Well, I can't wait to tell you about it. Listen to what happened to me. You want to tell a story. It's not, well, let me tell you four factoids. That's how I'm doing today. No. I just got to tell you what happened to me today, and then you want to tell a story. That's the way we work. I contend that God made you this way. That God built us and designed us for story. I'd also contend that as the creator of story, he's the greatest storyteller that there's ever been. You can look at the scriptures, look at the Bible, and see there's very little of the Bible that is simple dogma. That's like, believe this, act this way, God is this way. You won't find much of that in the Bible. Mostly you find story and a healthy dose of poetry stuck in there, because he knows that we relate on this deep level that has to do with story and understanding, not just naked facts and data. Make sense? Okay, that's the way we are. Now, I'll just tell you a little bit about my story, and I'm going to tell you more about it later, but just the broad strokes of my story is that I grew up a normal little suburban kid in Texas. I tried to act right and get away with what I could, and my life was interrupted by the first in a series of men who came into my life and challenged me and invited me into an epic journey, a call to adventure. Changed my life. Well, the adventure was following Jesus with my life. Since then, I took the bait. And since then, my life has been one of a pattern has emerged of there being a cost and there being a reward. Cost and reward. Cost that I wasn't expecting. Reward that I never could have imagined. That just keeps happening over and over in my life. And, I sit here today in front of you and tell you it's been really good. I would love for you to have the kind of experiences that I've had following Jesus. I was asked to speak this weekend one of my lives, I've had a little mini career as a screenwriter. Now, I'm not here to tell you the names of those movies, what those are. I'm not here to say, hey, run out and purchase them because it's really cheap family fun. You can buy them at Walmart. I'm not doing any of that stuff. That's not what I'm here for. Those video guys, putting those up there. Now, guys, you can take those down. The people don't, you don't have to take them right down. I saw there were some people writing down titles, and I know that we don't want to, okay, you can take those away. Yeah, there was a little period of my life where I wrote movies, and it was an unexpected adventure that kind of God brought my way. And I wasn't trained as a screenwriter, but I had to learn story structure in order to write movies. And I'm interested in that thing because what I find, as I'll share with you today, is that the way story structure works not only resonates with us in a deep place with the movies that we see, it's what we were made for. It's actually the story of the gospel, and it's God's story in the universe. So I'm just going to tell you some of the beats of story structure and let you see that it works with your life as well. I'm somebody who actually does care about movies because I care about the culture that I live in. I want to be a voice that can speak to my culture where it is today, and I need to be aware of it in order to do that. I also want to contribute to the culture instead of just reacting to it. So, speaking of culture, there was something that happened this week that will change America forever. There was a ruling that happened that is just a polarizing thing, and we might as well talk about it. What do you say? So, you're into it. Okay, well, polarizing, but I'm not afraid to say something controversial about it, okay? So, let's just get it out right in the open right now. Here's what happened this week. Disney banned selfie sticks, okay? You saw that, all right? No more selfie sticks at the parks. And you know what? I'm not afraid to come right out and say it. They were right to do that. Yeah, I'll say it. Sure, sure. You write down, you tweet that I said that. That's fine. I said it. Ha, ha, ha. I do care about culture, and I do pay attention to movies. I think that if we can scratch just below the surface of what happens in a movie, we can see that the artists who create movies, they're trying to say something. They think there is a message that's important enough that they want everyone to hear this story. And I'm always asking, what is the main message that this director is trying to convince me of? What are his suppositions about what I believe? What beliefs of mine does he want to challenge with the story, etc.? Now, there are some movies where there's no subtext. There's nothing deeper. You're not supposed to learn anything there. So Jurassic World, the theme is gobbling and claws and screaming for your life. There's nothing deeper, okay? But has anybody here seen Inside Out? Great example. Some real fans right over here. Now this movie's a great example of something that having a subtext that means something. Now, I happen to know that Pete Docter is the director of Inside Out. He's a believer. And so he made a movie that demonstrates that there are forces of good that are trying to produce an atmosphere of hope and joy for us, whereas if we reject that rescue, there's a giant chasm of emptiness waiting for us. Now, that's profound. And you should go see that movie. It's family-affirming. It's an amazing little movie. And those are the kind of messages I'm really interested in. You know, I want to keep my ear to the ground and understand the world that I live in. But those aren't the movies I'm interested in talking about. I'm interested in talking about this one. Here it goes. You'll notice everything that's happening here is to convince us that this is a gigantic story of amazing scope. They're writing the words on the sky, for crying out loud. That's not Earth. That's not NASA footage. What is, holy smokes, look at the size of this spaceship. We've never seen anything like that before. And so the whole beginning of the movie is to convince us this is a gigantic story. It's an epic adventure. But the story doesn't actually start that big. They're telling you it has that kind of scope. But the story starts really small. It starts with a young man who's a little farmer, and that young kid's name is Luke. Well, you are an excited crowd. It's good to be with you guys this morning. Man, I'm feeling your energy. I'm reverberating with you. It's really an exciting thing that's happening. Act like you're interested, okay? Just do it for me. What's the name of that character, everybody? That's right, Luke Skywalker. Thank you so much. I appreciate you humoring me. Gives me energy for what I'm doing here, trying to do. Okay, Luke Skywalker. That's his name. And Luke is a kind of a disaffected kid. He's not happy with his life. He thinks to himself, you know, I guess I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but I feel like I'm made for something more. We all see that character, and everybody goes, oh, that, wow, I can relate to Luke. That's what my life feels like. I'm trying to do the little things I'm supposed to do in a week, and I think I was made for something more. So we're going to watch the way that Luke is introduced to us. Again, this is the beginning of Star Wars. And we'll see his world, his ordinary world that he begins in. Here's Luke.
Luke! All right, I'll be right there, Aunt Peru.
I'm sorry, sir, but he appears to have picked up a slight flutter.
Here, see what you can do with him. I'll be right back.
Just you reconsider playing that message for him. No, I don't think he likes you at all. No, I don't like you either.
Look, it's only one more season.
Yeah, that's what she said when Biggs and Tate left.
Where are you going?
Looks like I'm going nowhere. I have to go finish cleaning those droids.
Oh, and he can't stay here forever. Most of his friends have gone. It means so much to him.
I'll make it up to him next. I promise.
Luke's just not a farmer, Owen. He has too much of his father in him.
That's what I'm afraid of.
And he goes out here, and he's gonna kick a rock. Watch him. Darn it. He goes up on this rift, the way that we all do, looking at the two suns setting. It's the way our lives work, isn't it? His Aunt Veru says, "Where are you going, Luke?" "Looks like I'm going nowhere." And Luke is kind of whiny, you know? There's this kind of famous line where Luke says, "I was going to go to the Tashi station to pick out some power converters." And he was raised on Tatooine. If you're a nerd, you know that that's the name of that planet, Tatooine. And he's kind of a Tatooine-y, Luke is. He's just kind of angsty, you know? Just kind of not totally pleased with his life. Well, I can tell you what's going to happen next in the movie just because I know this. I know the plot line that George Lucas followed. Now, there was a book written a while back by a guy named Joseph Campbell, and it's called The Hero with a Thousand Faces. And what Joseph Campbell did was he surveyed all of the ancient myths and all of the ancient stories from all cultures around the world. And what he discovered is that there are common beats in the stories that we have been telling each other since the beginning of civilization around the world. And what he did was he plotted out the way those stories work in A Hero with a Thousand Faces. Campbell kind of came up with, well, here's the code. George Lucas got a hold of that book, The Hero with a Thousand Faces, and all he did was he wrote his script to hit exactly those beats. And he just did exactly what Campbell told him to do. And you and I and the rest of the world had this movie come out. We all saw it and we all thought, oh, I love that story. It is as if we were made for that story. And all Lucas did was follow the prescription. And we all watched it. Well, this is a new story. This is fabulous. No, it's not a new story. Same old thing. And what happens in this story, in Campbell's prescription of like how story works, is that you get a main character, he's in his ordinary world, and you have to present him with a flaw or a problem. Now, Luke's problem is that he's sort of dissatisfied with his life, but as we'll see here in a second, he retreats from anything outside of the norm. He wants what's predictable and safe. You don't know anybody like that, do you? That when they're called out of their normal routine, that when they get a chance to go on a crazy adventure, they tend to go, well, I've never been there before. I don't know what that's like. We're all that way. We're all that way. What we're going to see is that Obi-Wan Kenobi, who represents wisdom, this happens in literature all the time, the old man represents wisdom, and he comes into Luke's life, and he gives them this drum roll. This is Joseph Campbell's next big move, is a call to adventure. So Luke is about to receive the call to adventure from the wise old man, and Luke's going to do what you'd expect him to do, which is he's going to retreat from that call. Now watch.
This is our most desperate hour. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
You must learn the ways of the Force if you're to come with me to Alderaan.
Alderaan? I'm not going to Alderaan. I've got to get home. It's late. I'm in port as it is.
I need your help, Luke. She needs your help. I'm getting too old for this sort of thing.
I can't get involved. I've got work to do. It's not that I like the Empire. I hate it, but there's nothing I can do about it right now. Such a long way from here.
That's your uncle talking.
Oh, boy, my uncle. How am I ever going to explain this?
Learn about the Force, Luke.
Look, I can take you as far as Anchorhead. You can get a transport there to Mos Eisley or wherever you're going.
You must do what you feel is right, of course.
Oh, shoot! There it is! There's the Death Star! Oh, my gosh.
Ben says, you must do what you feel is right, of course, you giant Tatooine. If you don't want to... It's like Luke doesn't want any part of this great adventure that's being offered to him. Now, here's the deal. Your call to adventure is going to feel exactly like that moment. And it's already happened to you in your life before, and it's going to happen again, and it's partially happening right now. There's a call to adventure for you, and it pulls you out of your ordinary life into an adventure that you could never have designed. Anybody here ever, anybody here do the Brave Journey? Brave Journey? Okay, all right. If you've ever done a journey around here, what you find is that God has a way of going zing, 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 and then putting his finger right on the area of your problem, of your character flaw, of your weakness, the part that you didn't want him to poke around on. We tend to go like, well, like 80% of my life, God, yeah, you can play around there. But you just stay away from this sort of 20% here. That's where I'm kind of ashamed or I'm afraid and don't want you to go there. And he immediately goes, let's talk about that. Come on now. He goes, let's talk about that. And you tend to go, Alderaan, I can't go with you to Alderaan. I'm not prepared to deal with this thing. And he pokes on exactly that area that you wish you could keep hidden and don't want to deal with. That's how your call works. This is the story, and it's the story that's being told with your life. Ordinary world, character flaw or problem, call to adventure. The call to adventure. That's what God's doing in every one of our lives. And you might think, well, I'm not being called on some epic story. I'm just being told to talk nicer to my wife. Well, I'm here to tell you that if you can contextualize what God is doing, if you'll understand the script that he's writing with your life, you would see that following him into something like speaking nicer to your wife is part of that story. He's actually drawing you into his grand adventure that he's doing. I want you to see that Jesus talks to people this same way. We're going to look at him giving his call to a group of young men that could be exactly like Luke Skywalker. It comes straight out of the Bible. And they are young guys who are disaffected with their lives. They think that they're made for something more, not sure what. And he calls them on an adventure. And it's epic in scope. Listen to this. Matthew 4. As Jesus walked along the shore of Lake Galilee, he saw two brothers who were fishermen. Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew catching fish in the lake with a net. And Jesus said to them, come with me and I will teach you to catch people. And at once they left their nets and they went with him. So here we have wisdom, the sage that comes to these young men, and he calls them out into something they don't understand. Do you think they had any concept of what he meant when he said, come, I'll teach you how to catch people? There had to be a moment where they're going, come again. What do you mean about catching people? There are no people in this lake. What are you talking about? And he calls them out into something that's larger than them. That's the way that it is with Jesus. That's exactly how it'll be with you, because you were made for this thing. John Eldridge is an author that I like, and he says this, he's a current author, and he says this, that deep in his heart, every man longs for a battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to rescue. His suggestion is that you were designed for exactly this kind of story, something epic, not something small. We're all moisture farmers, and we live like this, with our eyes so small in our small little world. And Jesus is constantly telling us, I want you to lift up your head beyond your circumstances. I want you to lift up your head even beyond your culture. And I want you to go on an adventure with me. That's what I'm calling you to. Now, the story of my life is that the adventure has been much, much grander than I would have imagined and would be scary if God had told me up front what he was calling me to. I don't know that I would have jumped. The adventure for me has been, gosh, sending me around the world. I don't live where I started at the beginning of this story. I wouldn't be living here. He's done crazy things with my money. He's changed my mind about all sorts of things. He's changed my identity, my character. I'm not the same person that I was when he started with me. What you find is when God gets his hands on your life, he starts working you like a Rubik's Cube. And he's just like, we're about to solve this thing. And you're like, whoa. I didn't sign up for any of this stuff. I just wanted you to help me. You know, that's kind of how it starts, is that your life goes into a God crash when you kind of start going, man, looks like my life's going nowhere, Aunt Veru. And for whatever reason, you call out to him and you say, I just need you. Will you come help me? And the answer is, yes, I'll come help you. And he comes and helps you, and then he starts getting you off on this journey. And you start going, whoa, I wasn't talking about no journey. I was talking about you helping me. And then he just goes, yeah, but this is the way. It's going to get so good. Let's go. And you tend to go, yeah, well, I'm not going to Alderaan with you. That's the way that we work. And his call is grand. It's a grand call to a grand story. And the interesting thing, and this falls right in line with Joseph Campbell, is that once you start in with him, there's a cost. This happens to every main character. There wouldn't be an interesting movie if there wasn't a cost. Our main character has to pay a cost that he's not prepared to pay. He didn't know that it was coming. For Luke, right after that scene when Obi-Wan calls him, his aunt and uncle die. His home is destroyed. He has to sell his trusty land speeder because he needs to get on the Millennium Falcon with Han Solo and go with Obi-Wan to wherever he goes so he can learn the ways of the Force. I know where they go. I'm just saying that. Here's part of my story. When I was 21 years old, I signed up for, there's me, young Master Luke. We don't judge here at Crossroads, by the way. When I was 21 years old, I had just finished college, and I signed up to be a basketball coach, an assistant coach, for the national Taiwanese men's team. Yes. There's no punchline. That was really my life. And I was going to work with the team, and then I was going to be their liaison to the Olympic committee and then go with them to the Olympics. Come on. I was so into this job. Let's go. And a Christian organization had put the job together, so I was going to make relationships, try to share Jesus as I could along the way. It's going to be so great. I got to the training, which happened in Virginia, and at the training, I was told some weird international snafu has happened. You ain't going to go teach anybody basketball anywhere. My advisor said to me, Stephen, you can do one of two things here. You can go back home, try to put your life back together, and just figure it out as you want to. Or you can see that God is writing your story, that all of the events in your life have conspired to get you to this moment, and God wants to take you on an adventure. Why don't you look and see some of the other jobs that we have available? And we'll just start processing with God and see if it's something that he wants to do. And that chapped me off, boy. Chapped my hide. I thought, this lady is insinuating that God had a hand in this. In which case, are you telling me that it was God who yanked the rug out from under me in my circumstances? Because I was going to Taiwan. And he just changed my life just on a dime like that? Are you suggesting that he has the right to reshuffle the deck of my life on a whim anytime he pleases? Yes, that was what was being suggested to me, that he can He can change your life anytime you want. That the cost, you don't have any idea what the cost is like. And you guys are all experiencing this to some degree in your life where there's something in front of you. You go like, this, I didn't sign up for this cost. What's he trying to do here? Let me just tell you something. This is the way story works. And Joseph Campbell says, when he's talking about the hero with a thousand faces, once our main character, that's you, pays the cost to go on the epic adventure, there's always a reward that comes after paying that cost that's much greater than the cost of admission to get going on the journey. Now that's interesting. That's exactly the story of the Bible. This is how Jesus worked as well. We're going to show you another little vignette from Jesus' life in Luke 10 where he calls another group of guys out on an adventure, and you watch this. There's going to be a cost to them, and then we'll see that there's going to be a reward. Here's how the story starts. Luke 10. Luke 10. The Lord chose another 72 men, and he sent them out two by two to go ahead of him. Go. I am sending you like lambs among wolves. That doesn't sound great. Don't take a purse or a bag or shoes. Don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you go into a house, stay in that same house, eating and drinking whatever they offer you. Have a great time, guys. Sends them out. So I'm going to send you guys on an adventure. It's going to be epic. Sounds great. Let's go. Oh, yeah. Now, listen. No shoes, okay? Whoa, what are you talking about? No shoes. No bags. No, we need bags, okay? We're gonna go to like foreign towns. We're gonna be taking bags and shoes. We'll be taking shoes. No, none of that stuff. Does that not sound restrictive to you, what he's saying? And I'll tell you where you're gonna eat, and you'll only eat where I tell you you're gonna eat on this adventure. Now, hold on, Jesus. We're into the journey thing, okay? We said we'd do the trip, but you're being too restrictive here. They wouldn't have said this, but by golly, we're Americans, man. We got some rights. Don't you violate my rights. Jesus said, like, I'm going to stomp all over your rights. Because I got an adventure for you that's larger than what America thinks a journey can be. It's just going to be bigger than all that. And there's this cost. And they have to pay this cost. Well, these guys are starting to have enough experience with Jesus that they say, I'm willing to pay the cost. They go on the adventure with him, and here's the second half of that story. They're going to come back, and they're going to go, oh, this was incredible. We can't believe how great this went. And Jesus is going to say, there's even more rewards for you than you thought they were. Listen. Second half of the story in Luke 10. So these 72 guys, they come back with great joy. Lord, they said, even the demons obeyed us when we gave them a command in your name. They were not expecting that. Jesus answered them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Listen, guys, I've given you authority so that you can walk on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. But don't be glad because the evil spirits obey you. Rather, be glad because your names are written in heaven. Snap. Now, there's a story that belongs to be, that should be written up in the sky. We're talking about an epic story here. They come back and go, the journey went pretty good, Jesus. We found that we had some authority. He's like, guys, it's going to get so much better than that. Hang with me, guys. I'm still writing the story of your life. You just can't believe it. He says, this was never negotiated early on, by the way. This wasn't part of the deal. He just says, just because you guys are following me on the epic adventure, I got your eternity taken care of, okay? Let's just remove that fear from the table altogether. Your names are written in heaven. That's done. They're like, what? That's just one of the rewards for walking with me. Let's keep going on the journey. Do you see that the adventure isn't about getting to heaven? Jesus, like, let's not even talk about heaven. Great, great. You're going to heaven. Great. Now let's talk about the adventure. I want to take you on an adventure. And they're going like, you're blowing our mind here. This seems like the greatest, isn't that the greatest reward possible? No, I got so much more for you. You have no idea. I consider the journeys that God has taken me on. I did take the other assignment, by the way. And I went to England, which is great. I speak English, so that was helpful. I went to England, and I can say that those years were some of the hardest years ever in my life, but I had never experienced God in an intimate relationship, and I mean everything that you think with that word, a relationship with God, as I had in those years. I didn't know you could like have conversations with God and tell jokes to each other. I didn't know that you could consider God to be a friend, not just a good, powerful force to keep me moral in my life. Like, I had a relationship with God during those years, and the rewards were unbelievable for me. I mean, you think about, okay, I didn't get paid squat while I was there, okay? But there were so many crazy things that happened regarding money for me, like crazy secret provisions, and I would do things that I thought that he was telling me to do with my money and think, well, I don't have enough money to do this thing, but I'm going to do it. And I just think he's calling me to do it. And then I would get my statement at the end of the month, and those charges just never appeared there. That happened to me often. I had times where, gosh, I could tell you story after story. I mean, there have been times in my life where I had just $0. I had a friend that, at a really hard time in my life, had a friend that asked me to sing in their wedding. Okay, sure, I'll sing in your wedding. And I told them, I'm not at a good place in my life now. I'm not going to be like joyful at your wedding. And they're like, just come sing at the wedding. You'll do fine. We'll tell you that. We'll have you sing a little joyful song. It'll be fine. I sing at this wedding, and they give you a card. They gave me a card at the end of the wedding. If somebody gives you a card and you've sung in their wedding, you like that. That's good. You're thinking there could be a gift card or something in here. I might have a hamburger, you know, whatever. Open it up. Here's a check for $1,000. That's 3 months' rent for me, I thought at the time. God has always had these secret provisions. There was this time in my life I had no money. I got onto a game show and won the game show. I mean, I'm telling you, this is my life. It's been an epic adventure where God has rewarded me in inconceivable ways. I didn't plan to be a screenwriter, but it was really fun. And I get a check every once in a while from residuals for these movies because you suckers are out there buying these movies. I don't know. And I'll get a check and I'm like, hey, guess what? Somebody bought your crappy movie. Yes! That happens to me. I'm in Cincinnati because God brought me here. I have the wife and kids that I have because God gave them to me. I have the job that I have because God gave it to me. He led me and my wife to start a couple of businesses. Business, oh my gosh, I had one business math class in college and I got out of it immediately because I didn't care anything about business or profits or anything. Now I'm a little business owner. Hey, I'm a little junior business owner. I never planned on doing any of that stuff. It's because he's taken me on an adventure and the rewards are beyond anything I could imagine. I want you to hear this from somebody who's been following Jesus for 30 plus years, because you might be on the front end of that deal. I want you to hear me say this loud and clear. It's worth it. I just want you to know, oh my gosh, it's worth it. I consider the little crappy things that I've given up for him, my crappy character traits, Loserville, get rid of those things. I consider my little dumb, small-minded career ambitions I had. I graduated with a communications degree and a music degree. You think I'm going to get a job? You know, there's no hope for me. I'm a little liberal arts goob out there on the street corners. Anybody want a sentence rewritten? Or can I? I can't. I don't have any business in the real world. But God has made a way for me. I think of the things that I've traded and what he's given me in return. And holy smokes, I just got to say this. I'm so deeply satisfied with him. I'm so grateful to be a part of this story that's so much bigger than my crappy little 85-year life. It's so much bigger than my family. It's so much bigger than Crossroads. It's so much bigger than United States of America. The story of God is he created people. They fell away from him. He's redeeming an entire planet to himself. And he has a kingdom that will never end that we can be a part of. That's the story. If I have any access whatsoever to that story, what am I willing to give up to be a part of that story? Everything. I'll give up everything to be a part of that story. I think of the times in my life. There was a time in my life where I thought he was telling me to give away my car. Oh my precious car that's worth a couple of thousand dollars. And our tendency is, I can't go with you to Alderaan. That's too much to give away my car. I wish I could go back in time and shake myself and go, are you nuts? It's a stupid car. It doesn't even run that good. Get rid of it. Give it away. What's it worth? Do you want to be a part of the epic adventure God's calling you on, or do you want to have a crappy car? I'd rather have my life mean something and be part of an epic adventure of cosmic proportions. That's what I want with my life. I don't even know where I am in my talk anymore. I've gotten so excited. Sorry. You're all right with me being excited. Okay, that happened in Star Wars too. Luke pays a cost that's greater than he thought, and he gets something back that's greater than he could have imagined. He finds that he has a new identity. He finds that he has a new community. He finds that he's given honor and meaning in places he never could have imagined. And if you could have grabbed Luke at the end of the movie and say, gee, Luke, are you willing to trade this for being a moisture farmer on Tatooine? He'd go like, are you nuts? Okay, here's Luke receiving his reward.
Hey! I knew you'd come back. I just knew it.
Well, I was gonna let you get all the credit and take all the reward.
Hey, I knew that was more to you than money.
Chewbacca's happy. We're all happy. It ends right. The movie ends right. You see it and you just go, that ended right. You ever go to a movie that ends wrong? Somebody's trying to be artsy or clever. You walk out going, well, that sucked. That didn't end right. That's because you know the story in your heart before you walk into the theater. You know what's supposed to happen. There's supposed to be an ordinary world. There's supposed to be a character that gives something of himself. There's a great cost that was higher than he was willing to pay. And there's a reward that's greater than he could imagine. I got to see that. He's got to get the girl at the end. Come on. We were designed for this story. We were designed for it. Now, if you ever see anybody who's trying to make popcorn in an espresso machine, you put your arm around that person and you say, can I tell you why you are getting such a poor quality of popcorn here? You must not understand the design of that machine. And inasmuch as you violate what this machine was designed for, it's at your own peril. I don't know what that is. Oh, that's coming later. Thanks so much for that preview, guys. You're all going to love that one that we show that. Popcorn espresso machine. The underappreciated video team, everyone. We never thank them. We never seem to thank them. We only recognize them when they do something wrong. Yes. But we do appreciate them back there. Okay, espresso machine, popcorn, espresso machine. Now, the Greeks, all the time, they talked about this word called logos. And back in Greek thought, Greek philosophers would talk about logos a lot. Logos is the true meaning, the deeper meaning or purpose of a thing. And they believe that everything that we see or touch or think about has a true meaning. They believe that thought has a logos. They would say that this chair has a logos, that there's a true purpose for this chair. And if I can understand its true purpose and interact with the logos, I'll experience real life. This is how Greeks thought. Into that culture, John writes his book. Now, we've talked about Matthew, Luke, and now we're going to do John. These are three guys who are Luke Skywalkers. They're three young men who follow Jesus on an epic adventure, and at the end of their life, and after Jesus had left Earth, they went, whoa, this is the story! I found it! I got to tell people this story! I got to write down this story so other people can know the story. A lot of us seem to think that, you know, there were that the Catholic Church somewhere along the way pointed at a guy and say, now you're going to have to write a biography about Jesus. Well, okay, I guess I'll do my best, try to remember. No, these are guys who were overcome, that were jacked up about the story that they had lived. that like everybody's got to hear this story. And so John starts to write the story of Jesus, and he starts it by talking about logos. The meaning, the true meaning. And this is how John, it starts his story in John chapter 1. It's epic. Listen to this, profound. In the beginning was the Logos. And the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. Listen to this. The Logos became a human being, and full of grace and truth, he lived among us. John is that's a profound statement. He's suggesting the designer of human beings, the designer of the story, the meaning of life, punched a hole in the sky, and he came and lived among us. And we interacted with the meaning of life as a person. What he's saying is this. The epic adventure is not a pathway. It's a person. Jesus is the epic adventure that we're all called to. That's what he says at the beginning of John 1. Again, if you just want to believe me, having walked down this road for decades now, I'm telling you, Jesus is the meaning of life. He's the Messiah. He's the answer. He's what we've been looking for. He's the thing that you long for deep in your heart. I'm going to say it one more time. You were designed for this story. And in as much as you try to violate the design, what you were designed for, that's where you experience pain in your life. When you see somebody with a sailboat sitting on Vine Street going, I'm going to sail Cincinnati, woohoo! You might want to try to get them institutionalized, but you're definitely going to say to them, you're violating the design of that thing. It wasn't designed to do that, and it's going to create damage. And you think to yourself, why doesn't my marriage work? Why is there so much pain in my family? Why isn't money a blessing? It feels like a stressor and a cause of pain. Why am I not satisfied when I lay my pillow down at night? Why can't I sleep? Why don't I ever feel rested? Why don't my friendships work? I'm telling you, that might be an indicator that you're violating the design and you're trying to make popcorn out of an espresso machine. You were designed for this story. The logos, the meaning of life, it's found in Jesus Christ. He is the epic adventure you were made for. Now, Christians throughout history have been the leaders in the arts. Did you know that? There's been more art created by followers of Jesus throughout history than anybody else by a long shot. That's because we think we found the meaning of life. And we get a little bit excited about telling people about the real meaning of life. Crossroads is falling right into that tradition, and we are determined that we're going to tell this good story with every song that we write and every book that we make. We're going to tell it through experiences and drama and dancing. We're going to do everything in our power because we got to get this story out there. It's a story everybody needs to hear. All right. For those of you who found Jesus, you feel the same way. How do I externalize this experience? Man, I want to do this in my business, in my work, my friendships. I want them to tell this story that I've found. Well, we're going to end here today with a little mini Crossroads Film Festival. I'm going to show you one little movie. It's 4 minutes long, and I think that this artist does a great job of encapsulating what I've been talking about today, which is there's a gigantic story about a God who is more unbelievable than we can imagine. He calls us into his story, and he made us for that story, and he invites us into it. Let's watch.
I am the might before the sword, the tremors in the spear shaft. I craft my ways from blazes of firestorms, absorb the failings of deadened ends to render the floors I dance upon. I am the spaces between applause, the roars of hearts running through heaven's halls. I breathe the forms of light and silence, still the course of cosmic riots. I am the glory of the giants Manaslu, Sagarmatha, Watchmen of the Asian Plains, they yield my name. Made famous through the cries of albatross flocks, inflamed in Pacific fires. I am dressed in the spray of Nevada dunes, clothed in the shadows of Sahara caves. I am the light of lunar flames, fleshing the reins of Amazonia. I paint the trains of Antarctic quests, release dominion to desert panthera. I authorize the remains of Aztec and Inca that bloom through the visions of mountain tribes. I ride the skylines, breathe the signs, ignite the paths of astronomy's eyes. I am the unheard, heard in the storms that burn on my words. I am the yearned for. I am the word. I emerge deciduous from the wetlands of your cries. Rise through the moments you wake. I bring the dawns that shake the fevers from your remembrance. I am here. I am imminent. I am he who crosses the plains through which you strayed. Discover the parts extinction seared. I dust away the dried remains of tears. Drain the lakes of your regrets. I wet the wells, till the soil, forsake the toil, quell the rages, sew the broken pages with my belief in you. I bring the you have never quite met. I am the desire that keeps your pillow wet. I am the heartbeat you seek when you chase after dreams. In the reachings and sighs, you are looking for me. In the body touching body, it is me you seek. In the groans and the longings, it is me you seek. In the yearning dream, in the need to be seen. In the love me, it is me you seek. In the breath drop wonders, gasping hunger. In the touch of a stranger that makes you feel younger. In the books and the fables, in the this is me labels, in the is this me, is this me, in the hear me, say my name, in the touch me, find me, need me, find me, in the aching pain, in the love, the music, the beats, the taste, in the heat and the need for embrace, in the color, the gaze, the meaning, the desire, in the flame of the voice and the spirit of the fire. When you cry for more, my name you weep. I am he who waits for you to reach. I reach for you and wait. When you lie half broken and awake, I am the watchman of your sleep. I wait and wait till the shakings cease. I am the truth they call release. When the darkness flares and starts to speak, I sculpt the shades of daybreak. It is me you seek.
Yes! Yes!
I believe that. Would you stand up and could I pray for you? Jesus, I believe that about you. I believe you when you say, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life. I believe you. And I know that that belief is a gift from you. I want to thank you for that. And I want to say to you, I know that my story is one where I have a pretty mundane world. I have some problems and some brokenness that I know you want to deal with. There's a call to adventure. It's going to cost me more than I thought, and the rewards will be beyond belief. And here's what I want to say to you this morning. I want to go with you. Even what I've experienced of you is not enough. I was made for even more than this. I want to go with you. I want you to take me on your adventure. I think of that picture in Revelation 19, there's Jesus on a white horse and his eyes are like fire. And he says, you want to ride with me? I want to ride with you. God, I pray for these folks right now. There are people in this room who can't imagine responding to your call for adventure because their lives are in such pain right now. They just need mercy for the day. Not only do I ask that you'd give them grace for this day, but that you'd help lift up their heads beyond their circumstances and see there is an adventure that the God of the universe is calling them to. And I just want to speak the words of advice that I heard long ago. The God of the universe is writing your story, and the events of your life have conspired to get you to this point right here. And he wants to call you on an adventure. I want to go with you, Lord. And I just bless every person here that has a yes in their heart toward you. Help us to trust you and to follow you. Amen. Thanks for being here, everybody. Don't forget the Connect event.